Good morning. This is Matt Winters, editor of the Chinook Observer in Long Beach, Washington, here in our After Deadline program on KMUN. It's a cooperative show with the Daily Astorian where we get together and have interesting, we hope, conversations with a variety of local people. With me this morning in the studio are Sydney Stevens from Oysterville, who is a very well-known, well-published author and has done a lot of work about primarily Pacific County history, but the regional history in general. And Kate Gable, who is a freelance writer who does a wide variety of stories for me and for Coast Weekend, and is also very much involved in the community. We're going to be talking about a community historian project that's been in the works for quite a while. I remember talking to Jim Sace from the Washington Historical Society about the general concept, at least a couple of years ago, and you all have been meeting together and refining the idea and sort of putting flesh on the bones of a concept that I think people really get. It'll be a lot of fun, a lot of education, I think, for people. Really meaningful, I think, to people in the community. Which of you would like to take the initial job of taking my cursory description and working it into something? You know, where are you with it, and where does it go from here, sort of thing?
Well, I'd be happy to. I'm Sydney. Mm-hmm. And actually, I don't think it's been 2 years, has it?
Been?
I think a year and a half, maybe.
Okay.
But it seems like a long time. Jim Sace, actually, it was his idea to begin with, and I remember that he wrote me an email and said, what do you think of? And his initial concept was to do something about perpetuating history by getting local people interested in local history and informed about it. And at first he thought we might fashion it after the Master Gardener program, mm-hmm. which many people are aware of. And so we quickly brought Kate and Betsy Millard of the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum into the idea and began meeting. And we've had a grand time, and we've covered lots of territory. We've refined it, quickly stepped away from the Master Gardener model because it didn't really fit what we were doing. But always the idea was to get local people interested in local history, Pacific County history, although we didn't know at first if it was going to be confined to Pacific County, but we finally decided that was the way to go. And then not only to become interested and informed, and but to find ways that fit their own interests and personalities and skill set to perpetuate and disseminate that history so that the beat will go on. And that initially was Jim's worry that they're, you know, as the older generation is dying, those old stories are less and less told and are becoming in danger of being lost. Plus, of course, history is being made all the time.
All
and
right.
So we have to have people that realize that, appreciate it, and want to be involved in it.
Well, it is sort of an interesting cusp of time in the sense that we have a lot of really wonderfully colorful traditional industries in the Pacific Northwest and in Pacific and Clatsop County, too, which have very similar histories in ways. Things like oystering and crabbing and logging, and, you know, they all come with a wealth of sort of folklore and legend and people who were wonderfully colorful people and good storytellers. And because the shift in our economy and the sort of decline in the health of some forms of natural resource, those industries are not as robust as they once were in some cases, or aren't as participated in or as visible. And so capturing that kind of enthusiasm and oral history would really be a fun thing. You know, Kate, you're sort of even more of a newcomer than I am to the Pacific County area. I've been here a mere 21 years, and I think, you know, you're, what, a half a dozen or so, something like that?
Something like that, although Sydney and I were talking about that. My family vacationed on the peninsula in the summer in the 50s, so
right.
I have those childhood memories of what the peninsula looked like, and of course it was very different ecologically at that time. So there's a mm-hmm. sense of the change here, and I wanted to pick up again on what Sydney said about both the feeling that we're living in a history-rich place, going back to, mm-hmm. you know, the Chinook tribe and Lewis and Clark, and so much of even our national history is represented at the mouth of the Columbia mm-hmm. here. So there's that feeling of history and the heritage of history here. At the same time, as I write for the paper, I'm very aware of the fact that something that's recorded in a written document will be looked back on potentially by some future historian. So mm-hmm. I'm always very aware of what we record, what we think is important enough to record in the newspaper or the Sou'wester or the documents that future historians may be using as they look back.
Right, yeah. Well, it really is important to get it right the first time, insofar as we can. Not that we always do by any means at our newspapers, but we give it a shot. And you know, history is what people remember and what it was for them in many cases. It, one person's history isn't necessarily the other person's history, as Sydney and I know all so well from our collaborations on a variety of historical projects. It's, you know, funny to think about the things you still have to be cautious about discussing even after, you know, events that happened three or four generations ago still live on in a certain sort of communal mind in some ways.
Well, and I think that we, on our side of the river and probably here in Clatsop County too, are fortunate in that many people came early and have stayed. And the family and generational memory is long. And the more the population grows, the more in a minority those people are. And that's I think, important to capture however we can. There was something else that occurred to me, and of course it's flown out of my head, so maybe it will come back. Oh, I know. As we talked about developing this this project, a way for people to learn about the history and then do something about that for other people, we talked a lot about how you research and how you find out the facts and what the ethics are in terms of what you tell, maybe what you don't. Sometimes that is an issue if family memories are a little bit edgy about mm-hmm. stuff. I mean, there's a lot more to talking about history than just getting whatever you think the facts are. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of what we want to convey to people as we do this series of courses. And I guess we should say here that what we are talking about has evolved into a 15-week course, which will begin in January. It will be once a week on Wednesdays for 2 to 4 hours each time, largely driven by field trips and speakers with expertise in various aspects of the history of Pacific County. And I don't know, Kate, you want to say
I'm glad you brought us back to the program specifically. We also wanted to let folks know that there is a kickoff celebration for this project that will be happening Friday, October 5th, from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum. They are requesting that people RSVP if you're interested, so that they have an idea of headcount and The phone number there at the museum is 360-642-3446. So if you'd like to find out more about the details of the program, there will be applications mm-hmm. available at that mm-hmm. time, and a lot of folks who can answer your questions. Stop by Friday, again, from 5 to 7, October 5th.
Well, I'll get the both of you to write me a story or stories about it where we'll advance it further before the event happens or before the reservation deadline happens on October 1st. But it's, you know, we were very fortunate to have that Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in Iwako. It's really a fantastic community museum and really has good leadership and just a huge community asset. So it's nice that they're sort of forming such an essential germinating role in this, too.
They're actually the sponsors. I guess we could say that formally.
Uh-huh. That is true. And I think that those who take this course will, and if they complete it and fulfill whatever requirements there are, most of which is just fun, they will actually become certificated under the auspices of the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum. And there is the thought also, if this is very much a pilot program, I would say. This will be our first year, and I'm sure it'll evolve, and we'll see where it will go. But there is the thought that it will be a prototype for other counties mm-hmm. to follow, and that it might, you know, kind of catch hold in Washington.
I was going to ask, is this brand new, or has it been tested before somewhere else?
We are the testers.
Yeah.
And no, it hasn't. As far as we know, there's nothing like this in the state of Washington. I don't know if we looked for prototypes, mm-hmm. You know, online and wherever we could, but we couldn't really find anything that was doing exactly what we hope this will do. I want to say one other thing about the kickoff. You know, history is documented and disseminated in many, many ways. The, quote, entertainment at the kickoff will be the Willapa Hills, who are a folk music group from Wakayakum County, and they have been spending lots of their time in the last few years gathering information, oral histories, and so on, and setting that to music. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, folk music is one of the most, to me anyway, pleasurable ways of learning about history. I'm sure I would never have known about Casey Jones or
right.
Tom Dooley or anybody else if it hadn't been for folk music. And so they are going to be there as entertainers, but also sort of opening some doors or eyes, I guess, for people to think about as far as how do you document history and what do you do with the mm-hmm. great history you've learn about.
Right. Well, let me reintroduce everybody again midway through the show here. This is Matt Winters, editor of the Chinook Observer. We're here after deadline. Terry Wilson is helping us, as always, in getting it recorded for the air. And with me in the studio this morning are Sydney Stevens and Kate Gable, who are both leaders of this new community historian project. So we really do have such a depth of history. One of the analogies that occurs to me with regard to this is that, and a person I've always been very fascinated by, is Franz Boas, who was the prominent Columbia University anthropologist who came to Bay Center in Pacific County back in the 1880s, I believe it was, and recorded the last surviving native speakers of the Chinook languages. And recorded their stories that were in the process of just totally dropping away, becoming extinct. If he hadn't taken the time to come and listen well and write them down, they would have disappeared forever, this whole tradition of Chinookan folklore and religion and history would have been as if it just never existed in some form. So this to me sounds, this new project sounds to me almost like an ongoing process of trying to record those important tales in people's lives while the people are still here to talk about them themselves. Mm-hmm. It's really an important thing.
One thing, too, and you've brought it up, this is a really good example of it, Matt, is the idea that, I mean, what is history, first of all, and who tells history? Mm-hmm. What point of view is present there in the telling of those stories? And I think one of our hopes is that by creating a program like this, we'll begin to assist a range of voices to tell the stories that maybe are more hidden or haven't been told before. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, one of the aims of the project, I would say.
Yeah, well, it's, I alluded earlier to the role that newspapers play in recording sort of the ongoing biography of their communities, but aside from the obvious issues of bias or lack of objectivity or inaccuracies that always creep into any news report, we are sort of, by definition, the part of the privileged class in the community, and we see things one way, and a lot of other people may see something else. I like to think that as the grandson of a sawmill worker, I have some foothold in the communal understanding of traditional industries, but that's probably presumptuous on my part. So to get those actual voices recorded and get history through people's own words is really a great idea. Have you given thought yet as to how it might be put online? Would you think about doing oral histories on a website, or is it strictly at the class, this big seminar stage at this point? What are the next steps, I guess, is the...
I guess I want to clarify just a little bit. We are not only interested in oral history.
No.
It's any way to get the information.
Right.
And that might be going through back issues of newspapers or dusty tomes in the library, uh-huh. or whatever, correspondence, going to, personal archives, whatever. But the idea of the project is once the 15 weeks of, for lack of a better word, I'll call it input happens, listening to speakers, going to actual sites, finding out how to research and what resources are available and so on, then the next step is that students will do a project of their own, and they'll be deciding that somewhere along the way. So if it's a musician, they might be composing something, mm-hmm. or an artist might be documenting visually, or some people who are far more technically minded, technology minded than I might be doing something for YouTube or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Or there could be one of the things that I've been interested in as I talk to current living folks who represent families that have been here for generations is some kind of a genealogical mapping of the families on the peninsula, mm-hmm. and the connections between them.
That
would be helpful.
Oh my gosh, it would be so amazing. I keep seeing this big wall in the museum, right. where we'd have some kind of genealogy and marriages and collaborations that could go back in time and capture the various family connections.
Oh, and they go on and on and on, and it's fabulous. It really, I wish someone would pick that up as a project. And Betsy Millard, the director of the museum, did indicate that they could find a wall for such a project. It would be fabulous.
Yeah. But I think the point is well taken, and that is that the both the viewpoint on history and whatever the product, if you will, of this project might be could take many, many forms. Mm-hmm. It could be an... well, we've talked about music already. Mary Garvey is another tremendous resource we have in terms of a songwriter. She wrote about the deaths in Willapa Bay last year, for instance. Mm-hmm. So she's keeping current and using her skills to capture current history. But there's a variety of project forms that could be taken.
Oh, and speaking of Mary Garvey and current history, I want to say, going back to the Willapa Hills a little bit, not only have they done arrangements of some of Mary's songs, which is great, but they recently wrote a song for me because of something I blogged about, but it's really about the current history in Oysterville, getting the zip back in our zip code right. because of the post office problem. And I hope they do that song at the kickoff, mm-hmm. Because it certainly is an example of documenting current history, and we don't know how that's going to play out yet, I guess.
Right. Well, postmasters were such a key part of all these communities, and in many cases still are, but it's just an example of how village life has changed, where, you know, we don't have blacksmiths anymore, and, you know, maybe it's the computer repairman is our equivalent of a blacksmith. Some of this sort of concept occurred to me back in the lead up to the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, in that young people in the area for a long, long time back in not to make you any older than you are, Terry, but back sort of in your youth, and it's still true to a certain extent, made a tremendous amount of money in the summertime, both working as deckhands on charter boats and working in local canneries. People would come back from college and roll up their sleeves and get into the fish guts and scales. And a lot of those sort of fairly lucrative jobs for youth have gone by the wayside. So one part of my sort of crass, money-grubbing editorial line of career suggests to me that there is some potential economic opportunity here, both in the sense that, as we've said, this is an area imbued with some of the nation's most rich and colorful history, but also I could see and saw at the time of Lewis and Clark Bicentennial a need for young people or people of any age to open businesses where people show up in town and want to be guided around and have sort of an personal interpretation of, well, this is where so-and-so was hung, and this is, you know, this is where that scandal happened, and this is the route that Clark took on his his walk to the ocean. You know, there's a cornucopia of different subjects that it seems a person could latch on to.
Well, you know, there's a whole burgeoning industry, I guess you'd call it, called heritage tourism now. And I think that in Pacific County, we're just on the edge of that. We know a lot about tourism, but we haven't really tapped into that whole idea of heritage tourism. Many people come to, certainly to Oysterville, just because they're interested in the history of the area. And, you know, we have a walking tour for them. And if we're out working in our yards, people ask us questions. But certainly there's a place for people who can interpret.
And to bring it back to the community, it's one thing I remember talking with Carolyn Glenn about, who's the co-chair of Friends of Lewis and Clark. When she first arrived from Virginia, she was surprised at the number of people who didn't know much about our regional history and the amazing resource that is. So I think that was part of the impetus for the name community, was that in some ways we're educating ourselves about our own history and the importance of that.
Right. Well, there's a whole bunch of layers to the whole thing. The ethnic layers are one key aspect of it, of course. There are so many wonderful Finnish people, particularly on our side of the river in Nasal and Ilocco, and scattered around all over here, along with other Scandinavian groups. And, you know, the Espies, who are Sydney's forebears, they were probably English, I assume.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, there's, to some extent, these different tribes didn't always communicate or play well together, and they sort of preserved their own history to the exclusion of other peoples, but they have their own, you know, recipes and their own traditions and a lot of wonderful stuff that, you know, the Finn American Festival every other year in Naisal is a great example of it, but there are a lot of other opportunities, I suspect, for one of your class participants to come up
Absolutely.
With our next great festival. Or, yeah. Kate?
I just thought, it might be interesting for folks just to dive down just for a moment into a few of the details
mm-hmm,
of the 15 weeks that Sydney mentioned. Week three is Let's Make a Deal, which is an early exploration and fur trade conversation. Then we have Graveyard of the Pacific, which is, of course, about coastal vessels and the Coast Guard and U.S. Life Saving Service. Tall Trees and Burly Men and Soldiers, about natural resources, the timber industry, and so forth. Bridges of Pacific County, about the various transportation challenges. So, and again, in each of these weeks, there are going to be specific resources to look at and experts to talk with. Mm. And I think it's going to be a really exciting program.
And you were saying field trips are part
field
of the trip. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. What sorts of things do you have in mind?
Well, certainly we want to get into North County, which is, you know, a lot of us that live on the coast don't get there often enough. So we want to get over and see something about the agricultural community that's there that we don't know much about. We'll be going, I'm sure, to the lighthouses and to the Cape Disappointment Coast Guard base. We're going to be going to station camp, I'm sure.
Yeah. Is there a cost associated with this?
Yes, there is a cost, and I believe it's $100 for the 15 weeks. Mm-hmm. There's also, I think, going to be opportunities for scholarships if that's difficult for people, and as I say, it does not begin until January. So, we anticipate 15 people only because of transportation parameters and so on. So, it's going to be first come, first serve. So, the very first chance to fill out an application will be at the kickoff, which is going to be, as we've said, at the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum. On October 5th, which is a Friday, from 5 to 7. So call and come.
Right. And the number, again, is 360-642-3446 to RSVP your attendance at the beginning or the kickoff for the Community Historian Project. Well, it's been wonderful talking with you, and I anticipate that we'll do some more discussions about it all as it matures and develops. This is Matt Winters, after deadline this morning, talking about Community Historian Project with Sydney Stevens and Kate Gable. Thanks so much to both and to KMUN for hosting our show.